it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour two of the nation. Hope you're having a fantastic little Friday here with us. We got the C-Note Cowboys news of the evening. We'll get you caught up on everything here in the next 10 minutes or so. A lot of other big things happening across our North Texas region, including Tarleton State basketball coach Billy Gillespie on temporary administrative leave, investigating an anonymous complaint against him, the school announcing Friday.
NIL hotline got him?
Probably. I don't know. Gillespie has faced allegations of player mistreatment.
Yeah.
I think this might be going full Bob Knight a little bit too much. Gillespie, 65. I think he's from the old school.
Yeah.
He's got a history.
Can't be so heavy-handed.
History, maybe some other things, too.
Well, you tell me.
Yeah, there's some other things.
Attack in 11 and 12, yeah. And then Kentucky in 09. Seems like he's got quite a tracker record of having a coaching style that, you know, made people pretty uncomfortable. Pretty intense little dude there. Billy Gillespie, Tarleton State. That's tough, but at least you got time before the season's underway to make some adjustments. It was a Chris Young presser earlier today on your home of the Rangers. I've been looking for video of this. I would love it if the Rangers could post it. But some takeaways from CY's season-ending press conference. Went out of his way to thank the fans. Jeff Wilson wrote that Skip Shoemaker's the strong favorite to be the next skipper. No external candidate as of yet. And payroll's going to be below the luxury tax, but will not be slashed. There's hope in there. I don't know what the number is, but there's plenty of wiggle room before what they're scheduled to pay at, like $140 million in the luxury tax threshold, which is in the mid-200s, maybe 260, 270 or something like that for next year. So
big key will be, can they move Marcus Semien? And then how much money do they have to eat on that contract? Because I think that's something they're desperately going to be trying to do.
Well, that would be something. You know, I guess that really kind of tells the truth if they're really going to aggressively pursue. It's so hard to tell when they're showing deference to star players and veterans and team leaders. You really can't get an honest answer on a lot of these because you're in a must-lie situation. Even if you want to move on to the guy and you're super frustrated, you show confidence. You know, you say things like, I believe Marcus Semien's going to be a damn good baseball player. Most, if not all, of the coaching staff will be welcome back depending on the manager's needs. Bob Nightingale saying the Rangers have not officially named Shoemaker their next skipper, but with no external candidates, the job will be his, is how Bob Nightingale is framing that deal up. All righty, it's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's step aside. We'll get back on regular schedule, and the Cowboys news of the evening is coming up next here on your...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Home of the Cowboys. All right, Cowboys injury report is out. We're going to get into that and the rest of the Cowboys news here in the C-Note. I do feel like I'm back in Dak's rookie year watching him play like this in the preseason and in the early season games, and you're wondering, can he keep this up with his wide receivers injured and possibly now without four of his five starting offensive linemen? This could be a Dak legend game. Where do you remember in 2025 when everybody kept getting hurt and Dak just kept going out there and putting up big games, putting up big offense? All right, so let's take a look at this injury report. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Yeah, that year it was road games against Green Bay and Pittsburgh that made you just feel like, okay, this is definitely for real. The NFL's had a chance to adjust, and you know, they can't do anything to slow down Dak. And obviously that was a great offensive line in Zeke and Dez and Witten and Beasley. I mean, that team was loaded. Now it's like you've taken everything away. Like Tom Brady playing with a jobber offensive line and like a slot receiver in Gronk. And it's like, okay, go out and win a Super Bowl. And, you know, obviously Tom checked all those boxes in the second half of his career to be one of those quarterbacks that could carry a team when, you know, it looked like all hope should be lost for almost every other quarterback in the NFL. But look at this. Tyler Booker, of course, out. Tyler Guyton is now out with concussion. He ain't coming back this week. Of course, Malik Hooker, of course, CeeDee Lamb and Kevontae Turpin. And then you have a questionable with a DNP from Tyler Smith. So I feel like in a lot of situations, if he didn't practice all week, he wouldn't be playing. But
he's questionable.
He is questionable right so here, Brian. What's that tell you?
Yeah, it's 50-50 on that. So this one's going to come down to
true game time.
So, yeah, we'll probably be talking about this in the pregame show, 9 a.m. here on the station, by the way, on Sunday morning. And for sure, Christy Scales will probably – I'm going to try and figure this thing out, who the starter the left tackle we know is Thomas, but if Smith can't go, who is going to be the left guard? I think that's what we need to try and figure out next.
Sounded like Adeniji, just from what Steven said, but maybe it'd be Trevor Keegan. I think those would be the two options. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely the big question because the rest of it's spoken for.
Yeah, if he was doubtful, then that would kick him out completely. But by being questionable, that puts him at 50-50. So they think there's a chance that he can play. Boy, I'd like to believe that they sure can need him, you know, doing that because, like I said, they could formation their way to where if he was having to deal with Quinnen Williams, because Quinnen Williams is going to line up, you know, 95% of the time over the tight end side. So you can formation him a little bit that way if you want to make sure he's got Smith the whole game.
Every young player in the league at some point, somewhere between, I don't know, 26 and 29, has to become the T-train participant, and that might be it. Yeah. You know, you're looking at tendonitis. Yeah. That's you know, that's pain tolerance, or that's strength and balance, and I think it's called Toradol, can really wipe a lot of that stuff out. But who knows, maybe there's additional risk if he continues to play through it. But if it is just pain tolerance, I would expect Tyler Smith to be out there. Kind of concerning, though, because he's been dealing with this for a couple of months, and I imagine all the therapy and the stuff he's doing away from the field to try to get it right just has not allowed him to continue pain-free at all. So I think that's going to be an issue throughout the season. So we have faith in Bass. We have faith in Hoffman to be decent. And we have faith in Nate Thomas as well. Talk to me about the left guard. Is he in that group? If Adeniji is the guy, is he in that group of around that quality?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think Adeniji in the preseason, you know, he is a veteran guy. He has made starts before. You know, I didn't get the feeling like, I felt like Thomas was a better player when it came to the swing tackle stuff. You know, it was like, it was clear that like, okay, between the two, it was like, oh, you know, Adeniji, he's a veteran. He's going to be this guy. And Thomas kind of outplayed him. Thomas outplayed actually a couple of them. He got a guy traded to the Saints, you know, the offensive.
Awesome Richards.
So Adeniji at guard. I don't think, like I say, this would be him getting plugged into a spot. Zach, correct me if I'm wrong. Did you see any time that he was playing guard? This might be a thing where some on the job training right now for, you know, some practice time this week, and like, okay, well, let's go ahead and plug him in there and let him play some guard.
Yeah, and it's kind of what I took from Steven there, where he's like, we really focused Nate at tackle.
Yeah.
And so maybe you're right, that has allowed Adeniji to spend some time. I just think, like, physically, given his attributes, he's just a much better tackle. But I thought Adoga was also better at guard. They wanted to keep him at tackle. So we'll see. I mean, fingers crossed that Adeniji can kick inside if that's what they decide to do. And they just keep rolling with this thing because they've done an excellent job so far with their backup linemen.
To answer your question, Dawson, I don't think it's to the level of what we've seen from Hoffman and Bats.
Okay.
I don't see that right now because I haven't seen him play the position. You know, I've seen him play tackle, and I think there's some qualities that he has, but Thomas was a better player than he was as a tackle. So this
also on the left side, and he spent a lot of time at right.
tackle. This might be break glass in case of emergency situation right now, what we're dealing with.
Jaden Blue talking with reporters today says he's very excited. I was waiting for my time. I stayed patient. I was told to trust the process. I knew eventually if I stayed consistent and worked hard, that time would come. This could be a big win for Shoddy. You know, if you got this whole thing squared away and it just fell perfectly with Miles Sanders getting hurt at the right time, that Jaden Blue is ready. But I hope he is so damn explosive and electric in this game that you get to add him to the list of like Pickens, Lamb, and I guess Turpin of, you know, explosive playmakers on this offense.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they need it in a big way. It would be awesome to see him give a little bit of explosive life to this offense, especially with all the guys that they're going to have out. It does make it certainly tougher on him that he might be playing with only Terrence Steele as a real starter.
You know, if Sauce Gardner's on George Pickens, Sauce is good enough that he could frustrate you and sort of slow that thing down to 40 to 60 yards or somewhere in there. And you know, if that's the case, I don't know where else you could get big plays. Confidence level in Tolbert and Flannoy in this one, I think it's middle, but these are definitely role-playing guys that could either give you absolutely nothing or hopefully come up with a couple of big catches and big moments.
Well, the Jets' nickel corner, Michael Carter, has also been ruled out, and I know Brandon Stevens really well.
Brandon Stevens, that's a guy that you should target. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I'm also hoping, and we'll get, I'm sure, coming up at Krusty's Corner, the ref report.
Yeah.
But Sauce and Stevens are grabby guys. So can you benefit from some, you know, illegal contact, some pass interference? But I would be peppering Brandon Stevens with either Tolbert or Flannoy, whoever it ends up being, and see. Like, and if you get the matchup, if somehow Sauce isn't traveling, you get Pickens on Stevens, I'm absolutely throwing the football to George Pickens every single time.
Shoddy on the Fan this morning, that's next in the C-Note, said the ratings will probably be bad because Sean was back.
Yeah.
He was zinging him.
He's on fire, dude.
The line of the day here on the Fan. He can do nothing wrong. Matt Eberflus getting ready to face a former Bears quarterback of his for the second time in 3 weeks. Is this advantage quarterback? Sure looked like it in Chicago. Seen this defense in practice for a couple of years. What do you guys think?
I mean, it's advantage for the opposition every single time, whether they know Eberflus or not. This Cowboys defense is just simply that bad.
Yeah, you know, I think this is what's kind of scary about this game is if your offense is crippled and the Jets are having success running the ball, you know, you have your idea of who guys are and what Russell Wilson is, for example. You know, 8 days after you play him, he's basically benched, and he looked like he was having an all-pro season against you. So I think this is probably like Justin Fields' best game of the season. Watch.
Yeah. Yeah, and we saw the Jets in week one versus the Steelers, and the Steelers' defense hasn't been very good, but they ran it up. Even though it was a loss, they put up 30-plus, right? I mean, Justin Fields with his legs alone, like he's good to have a 40-yard scamper.
Yeah, multiples of them, you know, and I think that the difference here is with Caleb Williams, he's still looking to make the big play. Right, when he scrambles, he's trying to run somewhere so he can find his wide receiver and, you know, throw it 50 yards. But Fields can crush you just differently. And if your tackling is a problem, you know, if your awareness is a problem, let's say you do decide to play man and your DBs turn their back to him and your linebacker misses, like Fields is often going to beat the first rusher or the first tackler.
Yeah. Yeah, he's big and fast. He's fantastic when it comes to running the ball, and he's not scared to do it. Like, he's got the highest scramble rate in the league. He has no problem just being like, all right, I'll be a running back.
Joseph Hoyt writing about Jalen Tolbert today. Headline, Jalen Tolbert seizing opportunity amid Cowboys wide receiver injuries. Quote, he does it the right way. And it's a great story on how the Pickens trade really made Tolbert pivot. Like, he was thinking, okay, huge year. I'm going to prove it. I'm going to go into free agency and get freaking paid. And then, bam, the George Pickens trade happens. But he said it added fuel to the fire in a good way. Is he, like, the most important offensive player going into this one?
I think Flannoy is very capable of being better than he is.
I have a question for you. With Mingo, if you activate him, you have to release somebody to get him on. Am I right about that? Because he's coming off the injured list.
Yeah, I wonder if
I was trying to push Flannoy figure out
to practice squad.
Yeah, I was
which I would hate.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out who they would sub out or because they'd have to make a roster move to get him back on the roster. So
yeah.
Right now you got Pickens, Tolbert, and Fenoy. That's it. I mean, you could have an elevation, right? They did an elevation last week with Cropper. So
yeah, and Cropper might be a guy they activate this week. That could be another guy that returns kicks for you.
I mean, you have to make a determination: is do you want to just go ahead and bring Cropper up and go that route, or do you want to, if you get Mingo back, you can activate him, but you'd have to release somebody to do it.
Jerry Jones tried to get his lawsuit released, try to get it thrown out. This is the one where the woman's accusing him of grabbing and kissing her at the Tom Landry room at AT&T Stadium in 2018. It was dismissed in 22, then reversed in 23. And this morning with KNC, Jerry Jones was asked about it. And, you know, he said in his mind, he does not remember it. There is no witness that will recall it for her. And he says it's a situation he feels like somebody's trying to get some money out of him that they don't deserve. But it was pretty neat that Heggie asked him about it. You know, that's kind of a very embarrassing and sticky situation for Jer, but he stood in there and answered and gave his thoughts. And that's one of the reasons you tune in every Tuesday at 8:30 and every Friday at 10:30 for Jerry Jones here on 105.3 The Fan. All right, Krusty's Corner's coming up next, sir. Where are you taking it?
Yeah, let's look at the officials. It'll be an interesting one this week. We'll look at that next.
Corner. Brian brought us every day at this time, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here he is.
Hey, hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty is going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Lucius, for playing that. Thank you, Dawson, for the introduction. Thank you to Reliant for being a part of this one.
What about me and Woolchuck?
What would you like me to thank you for?
Just our presence.
Make sure
like
you listen
here.
To Love of the Star.
Just helping you out.
Our podcast.
Kind of being coworkers. And
questions. And
being supportive.
And just always having your back.
I'd like to say thank you to my show, my teammates, thanks for everything, being involved.
Hell yeah.
Appreciate you guys.
Hey, we appreciate you going and flagtobering your tail off at Tober Garage Door tomorrow.
I'll be there tomorrow. Tober. I look forward to it. It should be fun. We did a show out there. Great crowd out there last time we were out there.
It was a great scene.
It was a great scene.
That's tomorrow, 9 to 11, right?
Just keep the shaman away from that place. You know what I'm saying, boys?
Yeah, big time. Shout out to Eric.
No, shout out to Eric, CBD American Shaman. And
what you need to do is come get you a flag, and then I'll sign it for you if you want that, and then take it over and get Woolchuck, and then you're halfway home. And then you can catch next Friday, all of us are out together. We're at the Cheeseburgers place.
Yeah,
cold beers, that'd be amazing.
Cheeseburger place.
One of our favorites.
So if you want to get your flag completely signed, everybody's out there.
I need to get more of that burger seasoning. I ran through the cold beers and cheeseburgers seasoning in like 2 weeks.
Really that good. Stuff is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is really good. Really good.
Yeah, but with the shaman, if you're indoctrinated into that, you know, you get those drinks that have the Delta products in them. If it says 50 or 100 on the side and you're a beginner, that's not for you. You want the tens.
Where were you? Where were you when I needed you?
Certainly not when you're in a workplace environment.
Yeah, brought us, you'll be okay. Go ahead and do that.
Freak you out.
Cottonmouth Sports Takes. It's a new segment.
Jeez. That was tough. That was a tough
you end
one.
Up with people saying, why are you so quiet?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Don't look at me.
Hey, Doss, if I had asked you a question, in this game with the Jets, is your biggest concern the wide receivers, the offensive line, or just the defense overall?
I would say defense overall. I think the Jets are going to destroy you if you play defense like you have in the first month. I don't think they're a high-powered offense or anything close to it, but I think they run the ball for about .138 a game. And I know they have some no-name wide receivers, and you're going to be looking at the TV going, who's that running for a 40-yard touchdown? They got guys that can run fast and catch the ball when you bust coverage. Where if you don't have the bodies to defend them in man. I think Bland's just okay, and I think Trayvon Diggs is trying to work his way back to okay. So, yeah, I think this defense is tough, you know, and you can stop the run if they run it like a regular team without a star, you know, quarterback.
Sure.
They're going right around the edge for I think Fields is going to run for about 115 yards. So, yes, I have a high degree of anxiety. I picked Cowboys to start it, but literally I've been going back and forth in my head all week long.
What about you, Chief? Do you think that your biggest concern, the wide receivers, the offensive line, or the defense overall?
Yeah, they're all fair concerns at this point. It's still the defense for all the reasons that Dawson just mentioned. Justin Fields with his legs, Breece Hall. I mean, that rushing attack's the real deal. Garrett Wilson can absolutely take advantage of you. Breece Hall in the passing game as well. Not sure that that's really been handled. You saw what Josh Jacobs was able to do, just dumping it off into the flat. So it's the defense, and it will be the defense henceforth. But the offensive line is now a huge concern. I mean, you got if you're going to have four starters out,
yeah,
and Quinnen Williams is breathing down the neck of Hoffman and Adeniji and Bass, that's scary.
Ball's out so quick, though. I think you make a carbon copy of how quick you were getting out against Green Bay. Like, what's one other guy beating his man within 2.5 seconds for Dak?
When
the ball's already out.
Yeah, yeah. But now it's probably a little bit more up the middle. Probably a little bit more in your face. And when they were really getting the ball out quick, I feel like the offense was pretty bad. Once they finally started feeling like, okay, we can handle this pass rush enough, they started to let it fly. And maybe the same thing will happen. Maybe this new coaching staff with Adams and Connor Riley is just so freaking dialed they can throw in all the backups you want on the offensive line, and Dak's so good at avoiding the pressure, not getting sacked, getting the ball out. But at this point, I'm a little bit nervous.
Is she there, Wooly?
Yeah, it's the offensive line because I just don't have high expectations for the defense anyway. So it's going to be about how well does Dak and the offense play. They've run the football so well. You know, how much does that take a hit now? I mean, without, like, I feel you're all right with Nate Thomas in for Tyler Guyton. But losing Tyler Smith, who's been your best, most stable offensive lineman, that would be huge. If Tyler Smith plays, then I'm feeling great. If he doesn't, I don't know. I have no idea what to expect from Akeem Adeniji at left guard. And that does concern me a lot.
Yeah, I think the offensive line has the concern for me, too. I think Dak has been tremendous, but I just worry you keep taking pieces away from him. I'll tell you what, the stuff with no Turpin.
Yeah.
That's another one that bothers me because, like I told you guys, it felt like Pickens and Turpin equal one lamb, you know, with the way that they kind of play. And sure. I wonder how that's all going to kind of work out here. But we'll see here. But I will give you something that I learned here about George Pickens. You know, him playing against Sauce Gardner. These are some notes that I got here. Pickens has totaled 17 receptions. This is the third most for 230 yards. That's the fourth most. Four touchdowns. That's tied for the most across 28 targets when he has had less than 3 yards of separation at a pass's arrival this season. Only Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams have received more targets.
Wow.
Since being drafted in 2023, Pickens has gained 1,663 yards. On these targets, that's the third most in the NFL, despite having totaled at least 30 fewer receptions each of CeeDee Lamb's, each of like CeeDee Lamb's 136 and AJ Brown's 125, who rank ahead of him. So Pickens against tight coverage, and that's what you're going to get with this guy when you know with Sauce Gardner. So maybe
he had 111 yards and a touchdown against him last season in their matchup.
Yeah,
you had Russell Wilson throwing it to him. So
absolutely, absolutely. Here's one more I want to give you, and then I'll get into these referees. Well, actually, there's a couple more. The Justin Fields, I've learned, has targeted a receiver behind the line of scrimmage a league low 7% of his passes, making him the only quarterback to do so less than 10% of their passes. So Fields, the matchup is here that the Cowboys defense has allowed a league high 87% completion rate on short passes this season. So we always worry about the flats and stuff like that. But this guy, he's behind the line of scrimmage, screens and stuff like that that we always worry about.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not going to do something on this one. And I also noted that Fields has thrown short of the sticks on 2/3 of his passes on third downs this season. That's the highest rate in the NFL. But he's converted a first down on 40% of those passes. That's the fifth highest rate in the NFL. Goes back to some tackling stuff, too, that the Cowboys are having some trouble with.
It'd be interesting.
Only the Chargers have missed more tackles.
Their OC, that Tanner Engstrand, he's coming off of working with Ben Johnson with the Lions.
Yeah.
So I think he could be ready for some motion. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's studying where the Cowboys are weak and has something for you.
Yeah, he's probably talked to I'm sure he's talked to his former guy about how he attacked the Cowboys. Okay, Alex Moore is your official You're saying Broadus who? Alex Moore?
Alex Moore.
Yeah, Alex Moore. This is his first year's official. I will say this. He's the first year as an official. He's officiated four games. He's called more penalties than anybody else. Wow. And that includes Bill Vinovich last night, who has already officiated the fifth game.
Lovely.
Wow.
So here we are.
Well, the Jets are definitely undisciplined when it comes to that stuff.
Alex Moore, four games. He's had 15 penalties for $128. He's had 22 penalties for $140. He's had 19 penalties for $147 and 18 for $137. Those are his last four games that he's officiated.
It's going to be miserable.
He favors neither the home nor the visitors when he calls penalties. He's very balanced with his calls. So there's no clear advantage. Last week, Ron Tolbert, remember? He was like, he hated the home team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hated the home team, was always helping the visitors.
I think we like that. Yeah, the Jets have been highly undisciplined. It was one of the main reasons Aaron Glenn went off on them after their loss Monday night.
Well, here is penalties, his major penalties that he's called so far this season. He's averaged this one five times a game. That's offensive holding. He's not home has got 11 of those calls. Away has had 9. False start. That's just a kind of a pre-snap penalty. That's something that, you know, the teams control themselves, but that's the next most for him. All right, here's one we got to be concerned about, guys. We're on the road. Need to know where the clocks are. This is where Dak, by playing at the stadium, he kind of knows where all the clocks are and stuff. 5 delay of game calls. Ooh. Already by this crew. So this guy's averaging 1 a game when it comes to delay of game. Defensive offsides, that's just an alignment issue. Unnecessary roughness. This crew's not going to let you get away with any chippiness there. Defensive holding would be their next most called plays or penalties. And then defensive pass interference, also tied with illegal contact.
Watch those.
So this could be one of those things that we kind of get into the game. Can you take advantage of the Jets, as you guys mentioned? You know, they'll struggle with Stevens at one corner.
Yep.
Sauce likely traveling with CeeDee Lamb throughout. Pickens on that. So, yeah, need to find out where number 21 is on the field for the New York Jets. That, to me, is the guy that you absolutely have to go out in this football game, and hopefully maybe you'll get some calls. Pickens is good about getting that done. But Alex Moore, rookie official, leads the league in most calls through four games, will be your crew for Sunday afternoon in New York.
Sounds like a tough day to have basically your entire backup offensive line in there, Brian.
Yep.
With the false starts and the offensive holdings. Well, thank you, Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement tomorrow, 9 to 11. You'll have Flagtober underway at Tolbert Garage Door. Broadus will be there. And then 10 to noon at East Dallas Diesel with Wolchuk, the all-new 2025 G-Bag Nation flag, the best flag ever. You're going to want to go get one.
Noon to 2.
Yeah, noon to 2 there noon at East Dallas Diesel. Thank you, sir. Okay, daily football fix coming up, right?
Let's do it. Broadcasting Hall of Fame, early NFL trends, and the return of the Mac. That's next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.